get to Rashog. Rashog, how you doing?
I'm good. You guys need like a referee or something? Or people are telling me I'm going to have to get in the middle of you two.
No, not at all.
Hey, you guys having it out? Little Donnybrook? Somebody jump somebody? Or
it's,
did you both
it's
call
a debate.
The fight was going to happen?
It's a debate.
good. So who's coming out on what side? What's going on?
Well, everybody agrees that Nurse instigated the fight. If the refs call the proper play, he doesn't have any. I'd be stunned if he gets any extra games because they've never done that in the history of the NHL. Added on suspensions after the automatic one game for instigating.
So you're saying had they called it properly, the league wouldn't have gotten involved. That's
yes.
what you're saying, Jay?
Yeah. Well, because in precedent, they didn't do it with Domi, who jumped a guy from behind and punched him when he had his gloves on, and even punched him when the linesman jumped in. He got a one game for instigating, which is an automatic, right? Like, that's in the rule book. If you instigate a fight in the last 5 minutes, it's an automatic one game suspension. They didn't add anything else onto it. And he was clearly the aggressor, similar to Darnell Nurse. If Nurse gets a one game, I don't think they add anything on because there's no precedent to show they've done it before.
Part of Darnell's issue here is how badly he beat the tar out of him. That's part of the issue. Like the act itself of, you know, basically forcing a guy to fight, he never really did start fighting. But we see that in the game. That happens sometimes, and players are punished for it. But part of what works against Darnell here is that he pummeled the guy and then continued to pummel the guy. And I mean, he basically didn't even throw a punch back because he was, you know, I think Darnell probably busted his nose pretty early on in the fight. And then the guy's just hanging on, trying not to get punched in the nose again. So part of why this looked so bad for Darnell was because of how tough he is, how dominant a fighter he can be, and how badly he beat him up. And so that's why, had he just jumped him, forced him to fight, the guy turtled, no real damage was done, I probably agree with you. But because he beat the tar out of him and the guy was bleeding all over the place, basically laid on the ice with his gloves on, that's what the optics of this were no good for the league. The league can't have the league can't have a player doing that to another player, that player bleeding all over the place, and then not act in some sort of a pretty strong fashion, because the optics of that were horrible. So the unfortunate part for Darnell was just how bad a beating he laid on him, and that the league stepped in.
Yeah, Ryan, that's sort of the position I took. And Jason, and a lot of people will agree with him, suggests, you know, maybe Darnell gets tagged worse for being big and tough and being a better fighter and doing some damage. But the thing for me, when we bring up the Domi thing is, he was like a gnat. You know, the two things with the Domi thing were this. The play happened right in front of him.
Yeah.
Within 2 seconds, he pushed him from behind and then tried to spin him, flailed a little bit. The biggest shot he landed when the player was down was into the rib cage. You've seen the replay.
Yeah.
But it was a heat of the moment. That doesn't make it okay, but guys weigh that.
It does make a difference.
Yeah.
It does.
And Darnell waited. There was stop time on a 2-minute penalty to Polak. Then they happened to meet at the bench. Coincidence or not, there was time to cool down. Does that have to weigh into it in your mind? Because there's nowhere in the rules that it says a cool down period makes it worse if you still go after the guy. But to me, I call it common sense.
Yeah, a little bit there. I mean, it's not like it was a spur of the moment reaction and he jumped him right after the fight or right after the supposed hit on Hendricks.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like he went flying in there with his teammate down on the ice and did something. I mean, I never got the sense that Darnell tracked him. Like,
exactly.
Had a beat on him and tracked him. He looked up and he was there. And so he just started beating the tar out of him.
So to me, that's spur of the moment.
It is a little bit more spur of the moment. I think Darnell had it in his head he was going to even that score if he got the chance and it happened to present itself. So I wouldn't say that it's entirely not premeditated. He probably had it in his mind that this was going to happen and the opportunity presented itself and he took it and laid a beating on the guy. So there's a certain amount of premeditation there, but, I wouldn't say it's strictly spur of the moment, but I mean, look, he was there. It happened. I don't blame the league one bit for dropping three games on him because of the way that looked. But I'm not going to be super hard on Darnell either for the action that he took, because for too long we've been complaining that, that these players don't stand up for each other enough. So I don't really see the main people at fault, and maybe, Jason, this is more to your point, the main people at fault here were the referees on the spot for two reasons. One, not for laying out the instigator properly. I think they were trying not to have Todd McClellan fined. I think Todd McClellan is a coach that is well-liked among the officiating union, and that was out of respect for him. And I think that ended up turning around and biting them because they had made the wrong call in an effort not to have Todd fined. And so the league had to step in. So the ones at fault to me in terms of the way this all plays out, Darnell, of course, you know, I said it yesterday, crossed the line a little bit. He's paying for that. The officials are the ones who kind of bungled it a little bit. And I would, and then the other one is the linesman, who, if a guy is not a willing participant in a fight, and nobody has a better sense for that than people who are right there, the people who are right there, nobody has a better sense, and they didn't jump in for Polak sooner. So they bungled it. The referees and the linesman both bungled it.
Oh, that was my other argument. You can watch the fight, and I've watched it numerous times. So Darnell's first five punches are all to the back of the head. There's absolutely no damage. The linesman's there, and he actually backs one of the shark guys off, right? Just backs him away. Hey, there's nothing really to see here. They were just,
yeah,
okay, let him.
I feel like
him.
He tagged him early, though.
No.
Because he was covering his face early in that fight.
But, yeah, because he went down. But I went and watched all of Polak's other fights. Anytime he's ever in a fight, Ryan, he goes the extreme with his chin down, which is fine. But we just watched the fight before the show in super slow motion here, and none of Darnell's punches landed until the last two that he threw.
Hmm. Interesting.
And the it was either the second last one or maybe even the last one that got him, and that's where all the blood came from.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, and like I said earlier, Darnell Nurse got penalized because he's simply a better puncher. Because Domi went in with the exact same intent as Darnell Nurse. Their intent was identical. The difference is Darnell was more successful at it. And that's my, I'm like, so if we agree that their intent and they're both the aggressor, one guy gets punished more because essentially he's a better puncher.
Well, the point is you got to be responsible for the result of your reactions, of your actions, not just for your actions. You're responsible for the result of them. So Darnell Nurse is responsible for the result, which was a player laying on the ice, bleeding all over the place. He's responsible for the action and the result of that action. Max Domi is responsible for the action and the result of that action. The result of his action was, you know, a guy wasn't hurt in the same way. So I understand. I don't think the league overreacted here. It did not look good. And they, in particular, with all this concussion stuff, they need to be careful about sending the right message, which is we will not tolerate somebody jumping another player and an unwilling combatant and continuing to beat on them.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. All I'm saying is the inconsistency where a guy did it 6 days ago, nothing happened to him. A guy does it 6 days later and something happens. Because they did the exact same thing.
But again, it's the result, right? I mean, it didn't yield the same kind of result. And so, you know, the punishment, like, guys, let's not kid ourselves. The punishment is directly related to what happened. Not just the intention, not just the action, but the result.
Okay, so I'll ask you the question. Do you think that's right? Because how will anybody know what the result is until the end? So if you're going to have it in there that says, we're suspending guys on the intent, right? Because essentially there, the intent was to inflict damage, both by Nurse and by Domi.
Yeah.
One was more successful at it, I guess.
Yeah.
Should that be – I'm not – for me, I don't want that part of it because I think then you're opening up too much of a gray area where guys are going to try it, and as long as they're not successful, they don't get punished.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not the first time. It's not the last time. It's going to happen. If you jump a player and beat him bloody and he doesn't even take a swing back, you should expect to be suspended and significantly suspended. If you jump a player and don't give him a choice and what results is a scrap where you both get some shots in and you're both combatants, then you should expect to get an instigator, and if it's in the last 5 minutes of a game, the league has determined they want that to potentially be a suspension. So it's about what do you expect based on what choices you make out there? And if a player jumps another player and fires three punches and that player is not engaging in the fight, and then the player continues to throw more punches and bloodies them up, that player should logically expect a harsher penalty than the other guy who jumped a guy, got into a fight, or didn't hurt him the same way. I am okay with that.
Okay, I'll ask you one and we'll move on from it. If he's suspended properly, do you think they add on?
You mean if he's penalized properly at the time?
Yes.
Yes.
You think they would have anyway?
I think they
even though they never have before?
Would've. Yeah, I think they probably would have, because I think the incident was what messed this all up was the gloves on and the blood everywhere. That's what this was not how a normal fight goes. And when you got a guy who had the tar beaten out of him and he is sitting there on the ice bleeding all over the place, that I think the league probably would have acted. But that's easy for me to say now. So.
Yeah, because their precedent suggests that that's not the case. That's all I'm saying.
Well, but I mean, how often do they go back after the fact and say, hey, we know it wasn't called in the first place, but we're going to have a hearing on this. We're
no,
going
I know,
to,
but that's different because there's no rule in place that you get an automatic suspension for a headshot, right? There is a rule in place. If you get an instigator, it's an automatic suspension. Thus, they feel like punishment's already been handed down.
Yeah, and you know what? You might be right, but I do think that the optics of this were that bad that it maybe changes things.
Quickly, the line combination shot, and probably the other thing, like the Oilers' offense has not been great recently, but Nailey Akpov has no assists in 25 games. He has 2 points in his last 20 games, right?
Yep.
Like Korpikoski's and guys who don't play with McDavid, if that's people's argument, are outscoring him. You've got Maroon and Cassie now in the top six. Do you think these combinations last longer than a game?
I think so. I think the shift in, like, let's be honest. He's running things in pairs, right? And the significant change, never mind the peripheral wingers, the significant change that we're dealing with here is Connor McDavid splitting up with Jordan Eberle and being moved next to Taylor Hall. That's the change. The rest of it results from Todd's decision to do that. So that's the significant change. And I do believe he's in a spot now where he's willing and wanting to give that a little bit of a longer look. I think he gave Jordan and Connor a long look together, and they were good. They produced. He knows those guys can produce. The problem was Leon and Taylor went cold. So now what he's trying to do is find another combination that will produce some secondary offense. So he liked what he saw from Draisaitl, Eberle, and he's going to now make that a pairing and give that a look. Connor's going to produce whoever he's playing with. It's as much about trying to find a secondary option that can score as well. And then when you consider Nugent Hopkins is on his way back, that only gives him another look. So I do think he'll give McDavid and Hall a longer look here. And I think McDavid and Hall, there's a real good chance those two skate together at the World Championships.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. The one last one. Defense pairings. Any magical formulas that you think would be successful?
I don't know.
Punt.
Man. Yeah. No. Let's just wrap up the segment. Like I could try and fill 40 seconds for you, but it's pointless. I mean, it just is what it is. They're now without Nurse. Insert Osterley. Reinhart has shown he's not quite ready at this level yet on this stage. He's got a ways to go. Mark Fain is Mark Fain.
But who's talking about
Justin Schultz anymore?
Who do you think like are the best? Is Reinhart and Osterley the best option because they played together in the minors, and then you have Clendenning and Party is the other one?
Yeah, I mean, which one of those is your third pairing? Like, my goodness,
probably Ryan. At least Clendenning, like Party's been okay as far as a fill-in guy, right? So I'd probably say him and Clendenning based only on experience.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with Adam Party. I think Adam Party has been a reasonably good fill-in for an injured Eric Greiba. But I'm just, you know, like, I'm talking about Mark Fain. I'm talking about Darnell Nurse not being in there, Brandon Davidson now being gone, Jordan Osterley being up, Reinhart being in. It's just, yeah, there's just a lot of guys there that probably don't belong in the NHL, let alone playing the kind of minutes they're going to have to play. So I don't think there's any magical pairings that are even available to Todd McLellan at this point.
Schauger, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Take care.